Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Let's get to our Beltway Blitz.
The Redskins.
Chris Russell has been studying the film intently. I'm seeing him tweet out videos and pictures of yesterday's preseason matchup. Slasherini, what is your film study telling you?
Hi, boys. A lot of what you guys have, of course, been talking about. Offensive struggles. You just take two series. I think it was the second and third series. 6 out of 7 were pass plays. Both third downs, essentially sacks. One was an intentional grounding, which I count as a sack anyway. The other one was a sack. Trent Williams, when Kirk Cousins tried to step up, then was flushed, back. The only thing really they could do effectively was run the football. They ran it for 5.1 yards per carry. I realized there was a 21-yard carry in there in the first half, which, is really all I'm concerned with. But there were just some bad, bad throws from Kirk besides the pick six. And that's what has me worried. I mean, he hung out Jordan Reed to dry on one. He nearly threw another pick six to the right flat. The last throw of the game on third and 10 to Vernon Davis, a 9-yard gain, was a terrible, terribly placed football that Vernon had to struggle to get, and it cost him the first down. There was just a lot of things I didn't like.
What's going on with Brandon Scherff? I felt great about him last year, Pro Bowler, getting better and better. Seems like a rough spring. I always call it spring training. A rough preseason for him here, Russell.
Yeah, everybody's all over me. I didn't think he was great last year. I thought he was fine. I thought he was good. I mean, whether that was deserving of a Pro Bowl or not, I knew right away that would defeat a lot of my arguments. I've never felt he was great. I've never felt he was dominant outside of that one run block yesterday where he just drove a guy 20 yards down the field. I mean, it was probably the best run block I've ever seen in all my years of watching football. But I mean, pass pro wise, he was responsible for that intentional grounding. You can make an argument, although I don't think it's a fair one, that on the Trent Williams allowed sack, if you will, Kirk Cousins couldn't step up because Scherff, kind of came over and got pushed back into his lap along with Chris Thompson. He struggled all preseason. Unfortunately for me, or unfortunately for Redskins fans, I think they're being a little naive if they think it's just these three games where he has been, I guess, spotty. I mean, I'll go back to the Giants game last year. He gave up a sack on the first drive, gave up another big pressure. To me, he's not good in pass pro, and he's not dominant enough in run block in order to justify all of the hype, pomp, and circumstance for Brandon Scherff.
All right, that said, I mean, if your concerns are Scherff, who was in the Pro Bowl last year, and Cousins, who was in the Pro Bowl last year, based on yesterday, I'm curious, your level of concern, kind of big picture, moving ahead to the regular season. Obviously, those guys have some good football ahead of
absolutely.
Them. So where are we at? I mean, Danny's an 8 out of 10. I'm a 6 out of 10 when we ask people to give us their level of concern.
I would probably say for me a 6 out of 10 because I'm going to count on Kirk, who always gets better with more throws, more rhythm, more timing, more work. Remember last year, first two regular season games of the year after a very light August, he was off. He was missing receivers. He was high. He was a little scattered. I'm totally going to trust that Kirk is going to get better with time. I think Pryor is going to get better with time. Sure, he had two drops yesterday. I got it. Remember, his first game with Jordan Reed, still working in some new concepts, still working with a new play caller again in Jay Gruden. I think they'll be fine. I would say I'm with you, Grant, probably a 6. I might even go a 5.5. But you guys know that I'm very concerned still, even though they had success yesterday, about the lack of run and the lack of commitment to run in a lot of games, which causes Kirk to have to do more. And then I think they're asking him to be Superman. And I just don't think he's cut out for that, quite honestly.
Tell people that what you were mentioning to me about Terrell Pryor, the developing receiver. That was a funny anecdote.
Yeah. So, you know, back in, I think it was like the end of May, maybe it was the first OTA that we were allowed to be at. I just asked him a general question. It was the first time anybody had had a chance to talk to him about, you know, continuing his development as a receiver. And I didn't mean it in a critical way or, you know, just an exploratory way. And he looked at me very serious, snapped at me. He was like, I'm not developing as a receiver. That's done. You know, and I was like, dude, you didn't even know how to stand up as a receiver and align yourself as a receiver until the summer of 2015. It was around this time, 2 years ago, that he had never, ever worked as a receiver. So let's just stop on the whole I'm done with my development. And it sounds weird because he works his ass off, but let's hold off on the I'm done with my development.
I just wish he would catch the ball when it was thrown to him. Russell, who on defense stood out to you as you're watching this old game tape? Yeah.
You know, I mean, just still picking through it, but one guy that usually does stand out to me, and he did yesterday, not only on defense, but special teams, was Martrell Spate. You know, he's just a guy who has speed, athleticism, blows people up in the backfield, had another big run stop last week, had another big run stop in the backfield yesterday, had a big play on special teams. That's one guy. Obviously, Fish Smithson is the easy one.
But Fish.
Yeah, Fish.
Uncle Fish.
I don't know what you guys thought, but Junior Gallette, even on that first drive, and I know it led to a touchdown, I mean, he got really low in his stance, and he exploded and rocketed out of his stance from the left side of the defense and got pretty good pressure on the right tackle and the quarterback. And to me, and then on another snap, he had a great inside move. Now, that offensive line stinks for the Bengals, but he had a great inside move on the left tackle. To me, the natural speed and athleticism that Junior Gallette brings is something the Redskins simply have absolutely lacked for so long at the outside linebacker or edge position. So I would say those two guys. Kerrigan was good, I think, on the first drive as well.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk baseball. Byron Kerr is our Nats reporter here in Masson Sports as well. You can watch him pre and post Masson Television. And Byron, we'll check you out at MassonSports.com. What are you working on right now? What kind of things are you writing other than your daily game in, game out takes?
Pretty cool moment this morning, guys. I went over to Mason District Park in Annandale, and they honored Yvonne Pudge Rodriguez by having a ribbon-cutting ceremony for Mason District Little League there with all the dignitaries from Fairfax County, the Park Authority, and the construction company, Whiting Turner, who did a real nice job. This field was, it's in my neighborhood, and it's been through a lot, and to have Yvonne Pudge Rodriguez there and for them to, you know, put brand new dugouts in. The field has a new drainage system, a brand new scoreboard, a spectacular lighting system. These kids that are going to get to play there, it's just going to be a boost to their self-confidence and pride to be able to play there. And Ryan Zimmerman and his family were there. Mike Rizzo was there. It was a very special moment this morning. And, you know, you kind of look back on Pudge Rodriguez's career, and obviously 21 seasons, tremendous. But you remember, Grant and Danny, when this team didn't have names that would come play here. And Jason Worth kind of started that. Obviously, Ryan Zimmerman was the face of the franchise. But a little credibility to have a guy like Pudge Rodriguez finish his career with the Nats. And it was a special dedication today.
Yeah, it meant a lot. And it's cool you got to go to that, Byron. That's very neat. Let me ask you about, it's normally like every time we have young, we have to do this because the injuries are, it's like a novel. It's like War and Peace,
right,
the Nationals version. But update us on some guys that are rehabbing and maybe on their way back, and then make a special exception for Bryce Harper.
Yeah, it seems within the week for Jason Worth and Trey Turner. Worth has been out, but he's swinging a bat normally again. It's all about the running for him, as we've talked to you about. Trey Turner got a couple of big hits for Potomac, so he's very close as well. I'd expect them within the week or 10 days. It seems like they're very, very close. And Bryce Harper, with the minor league system coming to an end here September 4th, he's going to have to find a way to get some sim games in and maybe go to West Palm Beach for some sim games and to get as many at-bats as he can in to get back into game shape. But he, you know, he was on the trip with the team when I was in Houston. He's working out every single day there in the weight room and being very, very careful, obviously, with that knee. So he looks like he's on a good mend. We haven't heard from Coda Glover in quite some time, still in West Palm Beach, obviously working on the throwing program. Mike Rizzo told me he'd be back, so I'm going to hold him to his word. Max Scherzer gets the start tonight, returning, and that one, you know, I'm a little bit nervous about the neck, guys, because it seems like it keeps recurring, and so just hoping that that will not be an issue heading into October and that he gets a solid six innings in. He looks good in his throwing program that I saw at Minute Maid Park in Houston, so hopefully that will be a good sign to have him back tonight.
Last several games, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win in the last six. Right. Is this just kind of okay until they get healthy? This is how it's going to be? Because I keep having people tell me, these games don't matter. Stop caring about the order. Well, if they got to a World Series, whether or not they had a better record than, say, the Astros or someone would matter. If they play the Cubs or the Cardinals in the first round of the Division Series, you know, who's got a better record does determine home field advantage in a Game 5. So I think the idea that these games don't matter is not quite correct.
I agree with you, Grant. It is August 28th, so we still have a little bit of time, but you have seen it many, many times where it's not always the team with the best record overall that is playing the best baseball come October 6th when they start the divisional series. And so they need to get the band back together in the next couple of weeks and maybe by the end of the month have Bryce as well. And you want that starting nine, that starting eight that you had. I mean, obviously, Anthony Rendon was hurt at the beginning of the season, but you want all these guys back together in a nice flow, one through eight, and they're getting used to being around each other, playing good defense together, and the pitching staff is intact. You want these guys to have more than just a few games because it's in and out, you know, losing and winning stuff, you're right, is not a good rhythm to be in. The Marlins are coming up, you know, they're feeling pretty good about themselves. They've got Stanton around 50 homers. If they win all three here, they'd be nine back. I mean, that's still a ways away, but they have always done a nice job this year of setting the tone in their division and pushing down any opportunity for any team to come up. And, you know, the schedule has been ridiculous this last couple of days, so maybe that's a part of what's happened this weekend with the four games in 3 days, and maybe they can get into a nice rhythm here. But the Marlins are smelling blood a little bit, even though they're far back, and the Milwaukee Brewers are desperate in their division this week. So it's going to be a tough task.
Byron, appreciate the time. As always, buddy, talk soon.
I appreciate you having me on, guys. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Byron. There's Byron Kerr on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Dave Jagler with more on the Nats at 12:45. If you missed Kirk Cousins, we'll have a chunk of that conversation in the 1 o'clock hour. Next, has the Redskins preseason, the struggles on offense, some of the issues on defense on third down, altered in any way your expectations for the year? Or will you not allow that because you already have a pretty strong opinion on this team and these games don't actually matter? Next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.